You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 33, where we left off last time. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 33. I just realized 5 in biblical numerics is a number of grace, and 33 is the age when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. Just a little note on the side. Before I begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either here in person or wherever you are, excuse me, to pray fervently for America, that we will be free again, that Jesus be our Lord and the Bible our book. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I am right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. We left off last time with Jesus teaching his 12 disciples in a mountain while the multitudes were thronging him. And he was teaching them what is called the Sermon on the Mount so they could teach us. The Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. And we left off with Jesus teaching us about divorce. He said there are some reasons to be divorced. And I want to say to all of you who might be divorced, you are not a second-class citizen. If someone betrayed you, you're justified in divorce. And also, sometimes there's verbal abuse and physical abuse. Remember, there are all kinds of sin. It's a sin not to pray without ceasing. It's a sin not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a sin not to give your whole life to God. It's a sin not to tithe. I don't ever ask for money, but did you know you're robbing God if you don't tithe? That's a sin. So all of you who are divorced, if your life was hurt there, and it's a deep hurt, just repent, ask God to forgive you. He wipes it clean, pick up your bed, dust yourself off, and get on back in the race. God loves you. Amen. Now Jesus continues teaching the Sermon on the Mount so the disciples can teach us.
33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself.
Okay, thou shalt not forswear thyself. What this means is, do not make a vow sincerely by oath. In other words, don't promise somebody, I'm going to do this for you. By golly, I swear I'm going to do this for you. Don't make promises you can't keep. Your word is your bond. Don't even say, I'll call you tomorrow if you're not going to call them tomorrow. Now, you can make a vow to God.
But shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths.
Now, be careful about making a vow to God, because the Bible says if you make a vow to God and you don't keep it, he's going to exact it from you. You're going to pay it one way or another. But when you make a vow to God, there are blessings in it. Psalm 50 says, pay your vow, and God will deliver you in time of trouble, and you'll glorify him. But do not tell people, I swear to you, I'm going to do this, and then break your word. You are in deep trouble.
34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne.
So you don't say, hey there, friend, I swear, as sure as there's a heaven up there, that I am going to pay your mortgage for the next 6 months. Be careful. You might lose your job. If you want to pay the mortgage, just go pay it.
35. Neither by the earth, for it is its footstool.
So you don't say, I swear to you, buddy, I am going to buy you a new car. Look out, you might not be able to do that. Just go buy it.
Neither by Jerusalem, for it is a city of the great king.
And so you don't say, hey there, friend, I'm going to pay your college tuition for the first semester as sure as Jesus is coming again and make his throne in Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just do it.
36. Neither shalt thou forswear by thy head, for thou canst not make one hair white or black.
Now, what Jesus is saying here, none of us can determine the color of our hair when we are born, whether we're going to be blonde or have dark hair. However, let's look at the fable of the three little pigs. Okay, the great big bad wolf came to one of the little pig's house and he said, little pig, open the door. And the little pig said, I swear I'm not opening this door by the hair of my chinny chin chin. The little pig could not keep his promise, even though he had hair on his little chinny chin, and the wolf blew his house down. Do not tell people you're going to do something. Don't say, I'm going to call you tomorrow. I'm going to pick you up and go to dinner. I'm going to pray for you. In other words, you're lying. You're telling a lie. In early America, our word was our bond. And now, everybody, except you and except me and except President Trump, everybody else lies.
37. But let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
In other words, it's wonderful to do things for people, but we just don't have to promise them. Just go ahead and do it. Don't make promises you can't keep. Because if you make a promise you can't keep, that is evil. That's a sin. Even as little as saying, I'm going to call you tomorrow. In other words, come hell or high water. If you say that, call them tomorrow.
38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. 39. But I say unto you that you resist not evil.
Now, notice he did not say that you resist the devil. We are told, yes, we are to resist the devil, who is the evil one. What this means is, when somebody does you wrong, don't get even, because the Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I've had so many horrible things happen to me, but you know what? I never got even. I just stood back and watched God take care of it. Be assured that if you are called of God and serving him, God says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Then Jesus will tell us later in Matthew, it were better for you that you were drowned in the depth of the sea and you had a big old stone about your neck than to hurt one of my little ones, one of my elect. Vengeance is God. Don't get even. Just carry on.
But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Now remember, Jesus is teaching his disciples. They're to go in the world and preach the gospel, and people are going to persecute them. So when you, as a Christian, are witnessing for God, let's say you're witnessing to someone lost, and you say, look, I love you. Do you understand that there's a heaven to gain and a lake of fire to avoid? And they say, pow, I don't believe your old religion. Well, turn the other cheek. What they probably won't do is hit you naturally, but they'll say, you old hypocrite, who are you to tell me anything? Don't say anything back. Just go on to the next person. Sometimes you're witnessing to a Christian who believes that Jesus is coming to fly them away. Now, Jesus is coming back, but he's not going to fly us away. He said, stay in the world. And they base it on 1 Thessalonians 4, caught up in the air. And you're trying to tell them that that doesn't mean to fly into the sky, that it means change into the spiritual body when the real Jesus comes. You're trying to tell them that the Antichrist comes first before Jesus. And they say, quack, I don't believe you, old false prophet, you. Just don't get revenge. Just go on about your way. Go to the next person.
Well, Lord, And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also.
We are never to sue a Christian brother or a Christian sister at the law. God does not say we cannot sue the world. However, it is best not to sue. I have had drug gangs throw me out of my school 3 times. I never sued anybody. But you know what? God's restored everything that was taken. He'll do the same thing for you. Now, why does he not to sue at the law? Why would he take your coat? If you sue somebody, you've got to hire an expensive lawyer. They're going to charge you so much money, that you'll have to give them their coat. That means you're going to have to give them your car. And then, as the trial goes on and on, more money, you're going to have to give them your cloak. You're going to have to give them your house also. Actually, Paul tells us in his writings by Jesus, he says, what you do, don't sue at the law. Call your pastor. I'm here for you. And bring your grief here, and let's arbitrate it. Settle it outside of court. I can assure you, it's better to seem to lose than all of the grief and trouble you go through. And again, I never sued anybody the law, but God's restored to me 7-fold. He'll Amen. Do the same thing for you.
Amen.
Don't sue. It's too bitter. Let it go.
Amen.
41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain.
Now, in Bible times, the Roman government, the Socialist, Communist, Marxist Party had taken over, and they had a law that if they saw a citizen, they would say, hey, citizen, carry my luggage, carry my weapons, carry my baggage. The law was you had to do it for 1 mile. That was all, just a mile. But Jesus says if they make you walk a mile and carry the heavy stuff, smile cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver, and say, I'll go 2 miles with you, okay? God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I want to encourage every one of you to be a second-mile Christian. You will never, ever, ever regret it. I have worked all of my life. I worked through college. I had good jobs. I had bad jobs. God taught me something. What I did when I had a bad job, I showed up early. I stayed late. I worked harder than for what I was paid. And you know what? One day God rewarded me. He gave me my own business. He gave me my music school. He gave me my own church. In other words, you never lose anything. Amen. That job you have, no matter what it is, give more than you're paid for. Don't worry. You're going to reap it. You're depositing it so it'll come back to you when you need it.
Amen.
Be a better friend than expected of you. Be a better marriage mate than expected of you. Be a better everything. Go the second mile. You'll never regret it. And you're going to smile, smile, smile because you went the second mile.
Amen.
42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow, turn not thou away.
Now I know you say, oh no, all these bums who don't work are going to come to me and say, give me $50. Now, here's what it means. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that will borrow thee, turn not thou away. The Bible says, neither a lender nor a borrower be. I never lend money, and I don't borrow money. You know why? Because you're not supposed to. The Bible said that. Now, what are you supposed to do? If somebody comes to me, and I know they need something, and they say, Sherry, can you lend me $50 till payday? I will say, no, but I'll give you $50. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you see, when you do that, this is talking about somebody who's really in need. By the way, the Bible says, when you see somebody in need and you've got it in your hand to help them, if you don't give it to them, you are in sin. So if I see they're in need, I'm going to give them that money, but I don't lend it to them. Here's why. Probably they're not going to be able to pay me back because they're already behind. Understand? Then I don't have to be bitter in my heart and get sin in my heart. Just give it to them. Now, but what if that bum who refuses to work and is on government money and never works, doesn't have a daytime job, doesn't have a nighttime job, he comes to you and he says, give me some money because Jesus told you to do. You know what I say? Go get a job.
43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
Now, the English translation here from the original language is not quite correct. Here's what it means. You're going to be done wrong because you're a Christian. You're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. What it means is when this happens, and these are your enemies, that doesn't mean that you say, oh, hit me again, steal my money again, lock me up again. No, no, no. It means keep on doing good despite what they do to you. See, some people, they are hothouse lily. The first time they do something for God and get persecuted for it, they say, I'm not going to do that again. I'll get persecuted. No, no, no. Keep on doing good. And other words, you'll be rewarded. Go on to the next person. And if you get persecuted, keep on doing good. By the way, how do you pray for your enemies? You pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them of sin and the Father will draw them to call on your name and be saved. That's how you bless them.
Amen.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
Those enemies, just like you, Christian, have happy sunshiny days. Those enemies, like you, Christian, have sad rainy days. So you can be bigger than that. You don't get even, and you don't tell them to hit you again, but you just keep on doing the right thing.
46. If ye love them which love ye, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? 47. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?
The publicans are the big bad sinners. Okay. Even lost people love people who love them. Even lost people say, hi there, friend who likes you. Now, this does not mean, Christian, that you date a person who is not equally yoked. That date leads to marriage, and then you're going to mess up your life. You don't marry someone who's equally yoked. You don't make them your best friend. But you do witness to them. We do try to win sinners to Christ. Understand?
Yes.
That's what you do. So you're kind and you show them love. You just don't get too close. You don't marry them. You don't date them. And you don't make them your best friend. But yes, you do try to win them to Jesus.
Amen.
48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Now I know you say, uh-oh, Sherry, I give up. I'm not perfect. No, no, no. Perfect here means mature. In other words, don't be a baby Christian anymore. Babies say, I'm going to get even with you. I hate you. I don't like you. I'm not going to pray with you. Blah, blah, blah. That's a baby Christian. Don't be a baby Christian. Grow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a grown-up, I put away childish things. You can be mature enough to not take revenge, not do vengeance, not get even. Just keep on loving God. Isn't it great that our Father in heaven is mature? What if he were a baby God? Boy, we'd all be zapped, wouldn't we?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Here's the title he gave us. Let us think on the name of God. Now, there's a subtitle here. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. Jesus assumes that you know as a Christian, you're to give, you're to pray, and you're to fast. But when you give, when you pray, when you fast, let us think on the names of God.
One, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven.
Now, We are ordered in Matthew 23:23 and Malachi 3 to bring our tithes. That's 1/10 of every dollar. And God says if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. We're also, it is suggested in 2 Corinthians 9 to give offerings above the tithe. There are great blessings there. But alms means you give to the poor. This is something you want to give and help people when you see they have a need. And the Bible says, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. But what it means is, don't say, hey, everybody, look what I did. I gave this money. Aren't I a great Christian? In other words, sometimes we have to let people know that we're going to give to them because we've got to say, hey, could you take this to that person? Could you call that person? On Wednesday night here, those of you who come to pray, we've got a project now that we're going to give a present every week to our brother Steve who's in a home. We have to tell each other because each one of us is going to do that by that gift every week and we're going to pray about it. So we have to know. But what it means is don't brag about it.
Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not send a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
When these pride scribes and Pharisees would go out into the street, they would see beggars out there. So they'd put on black, beautiful robes, and they would blow trumpets, have a band before them. They would get a slice of day-old bread, and they'd say, ta-da, ta-da, everybody look, what great religious leaders we are. We're going to give a slice of day-old bread to the beggar. That's the only reward they're going to get. You know, these things that we do to show our love for God and other people on Judgment Day, we get a reward. But if we do it here for people to brag on us and say, what a great person you are, they are to see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's a testimony. But we don't ever do it to say, hey, look at me. Understand?
Yeah.
3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth.
This is not talking about your physical hand. We learned last week that we, the body of Christ, are the many-membered body of Christ. It's a metaphor. Some of us, the eyes, we see the truth. Some of us, the mouth, we speak the truth that we see with our eyes. Some of us are the legs, and some of us, the arms. So what we don't say, hey, body of Christ, all you Christians sitting over there on the left, guess what I just did? Hey, you body of Christ sitting on the right, guess what I did? Boy, am I a great Christian. For heaven's sakes, just go ahead and do it.
Shh. 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
Now, again, there are times that you have to let someone know so you can let them get the present, understand, and like we're doing on Wednesday. But in other words, just keep it low-key.
5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
These scribes and Pharisees would go out there, and they would have a written prayer this long, blah, 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 blah. Have you noticed on the television, like at different inaugurations, somebody of the cloth comes along and they read a prayer and they don't even say in Jesus' name. And after a while, they're not praying to God. They're doing it for a show. What it means is, of course, we have corporate prayer. He says, forsake not the assembling yourself and come to pray together. We have to pray aloud so we can agree. But what it means is don't try to impress anyone with your prayers. In other words, make it from your heart.
6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly.
Now, this is your private prayer. See, there are two kinds of prayer. Everybody who is really sincere and knows me ought to be here on Wednesday. We have the word and we have prayer. It is your job, it is your duty, you're supposed to, and we pray aloud. But I don't ever have to worry on Wednesday because I know some people have to work on Wednesday. All pastors know that the real people who are totally dedicated also come on Wednesday because they know the power of prayer. Now, it does not mean that you go into your closet. You ought to all have a place in your home that is a private place. It doesn't mean a closet. It just means a secret place. Not a secret place, but just you and God. A place where you meet every day in your home. And it might have to be in a closet. It might be in a chair, wherever it is. Have that place in your home. And every day of your life, go there and pray to God. What do you pray? You ask for guidance, but you do intercessory prayer. You pray for others. There is no greater thing than to give your life away, to pray providently for intercession for others, people. They don't know you're doing it. You don't get paid for it. You don't get fame. But whoo, you stand back and you watch the hand of a God in people's lives, and great is your reward in heaven. So that is that time. Everybody, get your place in your home. That's your prayer place with God, and pray them. And pray every day and pray for others, but then also come to prayer meeting and pray there. It's both of them are required.
7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard by their much speaking.
Now, this does not mean that you do not ask more than one time for something you believe God's will, because Jesus will tell us later in Matthew, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. In the original Greek language, ask, seek, knock, each verb is intensified. Ask, seek, knock. In other words, Jesus says, importunity, with shameless persistence, ask. But what the word here is a trick word, is vain. It means don't chant. Hum, hum, hum. Okay, no chanting.
8. May not ye therefore liken to them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him.
But James says you have not because you ask not. We are supposed to ask. Now, what things? Jesus will say later in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's not talking about a Rolls Royce or new house or new clothes. The things you need to serve God. I can absolutely testify you. Many times, it's at the 11th hour and the 59th minute. What I need to serve God always comes. And that's what he means. God knows you need things. So ask him what for things that you need to serve him. And he'll grant your petition because he knows you need it and he wants you to have it.
Amen.
9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye.
Now, Jesus is going to give us an example of how to pray. He does not mean to use these words, although we just sang the Our Father, it's beautiful. It doesn't mean these words, it's an example of how to pray.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
All right, there's one God, and he is our Father. Now, Jesus will later tell us to pray in Jesus' name. So you see, you don't pray Jesus, you say Father in Jesus' name. Jesus' name is your password. When God hears the password in Jesus' name, he knows you're a believer. Whoa, I'll listen. So let's everybody say, Father in Jesus' name.
Father in Jesus' name.
Okay, you're off to a good start.
Hallowed be thy name.
We honor your name. Holy is your name. Malachi chapter 3:16 says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. When you fear, love the Lord, and think on his name, God writes that in his book of remembrance. Well, what is his name? Let's think on his name. Remember the title? Let's think on the Lord's name. Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, his name is called the Word of God. You are right now thinking on the Word of God. That is God's name, and he's writing that in his book of remembrance. Now, when Moses was on the backside of the desert, tending his father-in-law's flock, he saw a burning bush, And God is a fire, consuming fire. And Moses said, "Who? You're God. God, what is your name?" Now God speaks Hebrew. God said, "Aya, Asha, Aya." Everybody say it. Aya, Asha, Aya. Which means, I am that I am. God is the great I am. Oh, holy is your name, great I am. Aya, Asha, Aya. I am what I will become. I'll be what I want to be. Aya, Asha, Aya. Now, the etymology of Aya, Asha, Aya is the sacred name of God. It is YHVH. There are no vowels in the Hebrew language, just consonants. YHVH. That's the sacred name of God. It means Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Everybody say YHVH.
YHVH.
And it's pronounced Yahweh. It's not pronounced Jehovah. It's not pronounced Yahweh. 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 That's the name of the Lord. Now, let's think some more about the Lord. God is Elohim, not Elohim. Elohim is a different thing. That's God and his angels. We taught that earlier. Elohim is God the creator. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we honor the creator. Praise your name, Elohim. And say, Elohim.
Elohim.
Another name of God is Adonai. It means master. See, now some of you say, Lord Jesus is my Savior, but he's not your master. You're not fully surrendered. You don't go to church every time the door is open. You're not tithing. You're not winning souls. You got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Uh-uh. Adonai, master. Your name is Adonai, master. Remember, the disciples called Jesus master. Everybody say Adonai.
Adonai.
Master. Now we've got I am. We've got the Lord. We've got the creator. We've got the master. God is El Shaddai. God Almighty.
Amen.
God Almighty. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Adonai, oh master, praise your holy name.
Praise
his name is El Shaddai. Let's say it.
El Shaddai.
You're Almighty God. We honor your name.
Amen.
And the Lord is, I'll tell you what it is in a moment. When little David was about to kill Goliath, Goliath was cursing God. And David said, Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies in heaven. He spoke Hebrew. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord Sabaoth, God of the armies.
Amen.
Sabaoth is his name. Now, Psalm 56, verse 9 says, when I cry unto thee, O Lord, my enemies turn their back to me. This I know because thou art with me. In other words, Sabaoth, the God of the armies, when you cry to him, your enemies run from you. America, Sabaoth, the God of the armies, turn away from America. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say Sabaoth.
Sabaoth.
Now, there are combined names of God, and we're going to study those next week because I don't want to overload your SUV. Okay. Now, let's go back, and we're thinking on the names of God. All right. Let's go back. His name is Aya, Asha, Aya.
Aya, Asha, Aya.
I am that I am.
I am that I am.
His name is the Word of God.
His name is the Word of God.
Okay. His name is Yahweh.
Yahweh.
His name is Adonai.
Adonai.
His name is Elohim.
Elohim.
His name is El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
And his name is Sabaoth.
Sabaoth.
Hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord. We'll begin right there next time. When you think on God's name, we're going to now study the combined names of God, which says he's your healer, he's your shepherd, he's your peace, he's your provider, he's your sanctifier, he's your righteousness, he's your victory. And we'll learn that next time.
Amen.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Right. right now, I'm going to introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Burson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. What a strengthening word. Strengthening word. Awesome word.
Bless his holy name.
Bless his holy name.
Well, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalms 62, 7 and 8.
Absolutely perfect. Great, Scott.
Amen.
Great stuff. Thank
Amen.
You very much. You notice he said is your salvation. Now, while the Father's name is Yahweh, Jesus, Yeshua's name means Yahweh's Savior. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, excuse me, I want to pray for anyone who's not saved. If you're not saved, it's time for you to repent. Repent means you're very sorry. You're going to turn from that. You're going to quit. You confess your sins. You repent. You believe. So let's pray the prayer of salvation. Meet it with your heart, and God will save you. We're at the end of this age. It's time for everybody to get right with God and be what God wants you to be. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize, fill, and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Baptize, fill me, and lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that prayer out there in cyberspace, the Bible says confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, you'll hear my telephone number on the radio. That is the correct number. It works. So call and leave that message on my voicemail. Speak clearly, and I will pray for you. And now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. I want you to understand that Yahweh Rapha is a name of the Lord, our healer. We'll set it next time. Yahweh Rapha. He is the Lord who healeth thee. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. Why? Modern scientists have discovered there are only 39 foundation diseases and sicknesses. All sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. And with his stripes, we are healed. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, according to Malachi 4, please arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of Jesus Christ go into everybody's body. Anything that's inside anybody's body that's harmful to them, or on their body, or near their body that's harmful to them, let that thing be gone into the abyss and heal that area. Cancer be gone, coronavirus be gone, hernias be gone, blindness be gone, deafness be gone, migraines be gone, diabetes be gone, rheumatoid arthritis be gone, Crohn's disease be gone, germs be gone, blood clots be gone, poison be gone, sickness be gone, death be gone.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Name.
Lord, restore health and cure. Heal, send your word and heal them. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed.
Amen.
Believe it and receive it, for it is the word of God. Yahweh Rapha, he is the Lord who healeth thee.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we all say,
I agree
in Jesus' name. Now, nothing is given to you to keep. So go and give it away, and God will give you some more. His law of reciprocity. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you with all my heart. And I encourage you to give your complete life to Jesus. You will never forget it. You will never forget it, and you'll never regret it. I mean, great is your reward in heaven. Be sanctified. Be set apart for holy use. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
Trumpet
of Truth.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Was lost, I walked away. The road was dark, I could not see. My hope was gone, the pain was real. But your mercy, you saw my steps. You felt my fears, you heard my cries, you caught my tears. Arms open wide, you ran to me with your mercy. Your mercy, your mercy. I stay. stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy. You give me life beyond the grave. My deepest shame is cast away. You sing a song that covers me. It's your mercy. Your mercy. Your mercy. I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me. You raised me. You died so I could. Loving kindness leads me to repentance. Your loving kindness leads me to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Your mercy, your mercy, I stand before my
have run, he forgives for the glory. You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE. Lord,
make me an instrument. She got the call today, one out of the gray. And when the smoke cleared, it took her breath away. She said she didn't believe it could happen to me. I guess we're all one phone call from our knees. We're gonna get there soon. If every building falls and all the stars fade, we'll still be singing this song, the one that can't take away. Gonna get there soon, she's gonna be there too. Crying in her room, praying, Lord, come through. We're gonna get there soon.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Could it be that there's some people here with mountains that won't move because God can't get us to move?
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how to get more of that mountain-moving faith.
Don't go after more faith, go after more God.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. People often say you can do anything if you have enough faith. But Dr. Evans says that's not true unless you have the right kind of faith. Let's join him as he explains.
The Bible speaks of mountains literally, but it also speaks of mountains figuratively. Something that is immobile. Something that holds you so hostage that it looks like it is a hopeless situation. Life can get that way sometimes. where there are no answers. The people who you thought had the answers don't have them either. And you find yourself stuck at the base of Mount Everest, a mountain that you cannot climb, a situation you can't get over, a pain you cannot dull, a struggle you cannot win. That's why I want to call your attention to Mark chapter 11. And let me start by reading verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and doth not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. I want to talk to you for a few moments about